then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Puts a little condition on it. Verse 9, and she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. The topic is, faith fights for me. Faith fights for me. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask today. Lord, I pray that you would even quicken my mind and the words that I would say. Quicken our hearts, Lord. Help us to hear, Lord, what the Spirit, what the Holy Ghost would say to us, Lord. That your purpose would be accomplished in this service. Lord, I pray your hand to be upon everything, Lord, that is here and all that is about us, Lord, that your purpose, Lord, would be accomplished, Lord, here today. Touch us, I pray. Anoint me to say of it, Lord. Let your word, God, touch our hearts. And, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray, your will be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Faith fights for me. I'm not quite sure how to explain it, but when you have been through a spiritual fight, a battle, and you know that God brought you through, there is something powerful and encouraging and uplifting, that there is something marvelous that you can stand upon, that you know that God did that. You know that God brought me through. Amen. Faith fights for me. Now I've got some more scripture I want to read. Then I'm going to summarize and talk about it a little bit. Let me go back to scripture first. I'm setting the background, if you will. I'm trying to set this story up. I want to use scripture to give us the scenario. Judges, continuing in Judges, chapter 13 now, verses 24 and 25. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Judges chapter 16. We talked about Deborah's song. We talked about Samson's promise. Judges chapter 16, verses 15 to 17, three verses there. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Anybody get a picture of what's going on here? Samson's wife pressing him. Tell me your secrets. How are you so strong? How can this be that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Man, that's a lot of stuff. Did anybody else get what he was saying there? I take pleasure, get what he's saying, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, wow, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Man, it goes against human thinking altogether. It's completely contrary to the fleshly desires of mankind. Whew. I'm going to talk on this. Weakness in strength. Strength in weakness. It is a scriptural paradox. Kind of turns our thinking on its head. You see, this concept is important to those seeking a balanced spiritual life. Our confidence must rest in the power of Jesus Christ. Rest in the power of God. Rest in the fulfillment of what God wants to do in our lives. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. God's plans are far beyond our furthest thought. God can do more than you ever thought of. Amen. In your life. Praise the Lord. You see, the heroes of faith, you look at Scripture and they didn't feel like champions of strength. I can just see Moses, but I can't even talk good. Speech impediment. How can I be the mouthpiece of God when I can't talk to a stranger? I'll tell you what, God can do it. Amen. Moses led millions of people under God's plan. God can do it. The heroes of faith, they brought out the fact. You can see it when you read scriptures, when you consider the stories. And if you're just reading out of the little of the Bible story book to your grandchildren, when you read that story, you can see how that God's word comes true. Out of weakness came strength. It's not just the stories in the Old Testament. It's not just brought to life in the accounts of the New Testament. It is right now in our lives, and I'm talking to some folks that have been around living for God for some time now. The longer that you live for God, the more confidence you will have that God is real. Amen. That my God will see me through. And it doesn't matter if you're weak in your... Yes, this body gets sick sometimes. sometimes I, you know, stub my toe or hurt myself or I fall down, you know, I get scraped or bruised, I get a heart problem or a blood pressure problem, or maybe you got diabetes or maybe you got some other condition in the flesh. God will see me through. Amen. I'll even give you, if I die, I win. Amen. There's been a few times I've been so desperate, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this one. But I know God's good. I know God is going to help me. I know God is going to see me through. I don't know what the end is. I don't know what my end is. I don't know how long this life will be. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds my future. Amen. I am confident that God has it in control. You watch the end time videos, and yes, we're learning so very much, and it's powerful and exciting, and you know, it's eye-opening. And really, all that is going to come to pass here? Every piece of the Word of Scripture, every dot, every crossing of the T, every dotting of the I, every little piece of Scripture will absolutely come to pass. Everything will be fulfilled. But God has it in control. It's going to seem like total chaos. But my God will supply all of my need. Amen. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm sure my life is always going to be a life of ease and I've got everything all set all the way to the grave. I don't know that. There may come hard times. There is going to come tribulation. There is going to be turmoil, trouble in this life. But I know God has me in His hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our faith fights for us. We got to keep a strong faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, that's a faith chapter. You know, that's the place you want to go if you want to read about faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 34, it said, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. That don't sound like a sissy to me. That don't sound like weak need and worried to me. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Waxed valiant in fight. It will not always be easy. But God is always going to be with us. Sometimes we are going to have to fight for our faith. The declaration of their valor was made in the fight. They had to go through some things. Moses didn't just walk in and get permission from the king to get every, you know the story. All those plagues and all those trips back and forth and back and forth and terrible turmoil and rejection and then turmoil and rejection and turmoil and back and forth and up and down, and now they're running for their lives and oh no, we're trapped. The Red Sea, the army's coming. You know, it looked pretty bad. In fact, it looked really bad. But God had it all in control. God wasn't scared of the circumstances. God wasn't hindered by the place where they were. God wasn't afraid of the armies coming down in chariots and, you know, the greatest military force in the entirety of the world was coming up against them. An unarmed, large group of families, men, women, and children, cows and sheep, tents and stuff. And they brought everything with them. This just wasn't a weekend vacation. Man, they packed everything. What do you mean, run? I can't run. God, there's going to be places in our life where you think it looks really bad. Might be your health, might be your family, might be your finances, might be your job, might be all of the above, might be everything going wrong at once. But God is not hindered by the bad stuff around us in our life. God is still in control. You can trust God. Faith fights for us. See, as in the flesh, faith increases as you exercise it. You know, the bodybuilder that has bulging muscles, he didn't get like that from yesterday. It may have taken years or decades for him to build that strength up. The child of God, the man of God, the woman of God, the believer in faith that is in our midst did not get there from yesterday. I tell you, that woman of God, that man of God, they have been in spiritual battles before and seen God's victory. They have been in the place that was desperate in their life before, and God brought them through. They again and again and again and again have faced opposition and know that God is able to take care of them. Miracle after miracle after miracle has happened in their lives. Perhaps they have seen miracles when they've prayed before, and they know God is a miracle working God. The test of life, they will discover our strengths and our weaknesses. They will. There's going to be some. There has been many that have failed the test of faith. Opposition comes. Financial burdens arise. Family, perhaps, comes against them, or friends reject them, or you name it. Bad things happen. And they lose out and they don't walk with God. But when we keep our faith, when we let our faith fight for us, we will discover God's grace is sufficient for me. My God has kept me. My God will keep you. Amen. I don't have any hesitation. I have no mixed emotions. It is absolutely, positively clear in my mind. My God is able. Whatever your need is, my God is able. Be in your family. I seen my 80, I don't know how old was Myron when he got the Holy Ghost. 84-year-old father-in-law speak in tongues and get baptized in Jesus' name. My wife prayed for that man for decades. He lived all the way across the continent. We were in Virginia. He was in Wisconsin. 1,500 miles away. How, God, can we reach him? God brought him right into our bedroom. God brought him to our house. God is able. What seems like it is impossible is possible with God. God is able. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. And at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Get this now. This is tough right here. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul certainly had an abundance of faith. He certainly had an experience with God. He certainly got to exercise his faith and his walk with the Lord. Exercising his faith every single day, knowing who Jesus is. I tell you, there are people in our church that I am absolutely certain have a clarity in their mind and a heart that is fixed, and they know who Jesus is. No wishy-washy there. There's people right here under the sound of my voice that I am certain you know who God is. Then exercise your faith. It's like pumping iron does very little for me. As you probably can tell. But exercising my faith, that much I can do. I can preach from the Word and say it with confidence that I know the Word of God is true, that I know His Word is infallible, that I know the Bible is true, that His Word is going to come to pass, that all things written there are true. All things there. Everything in the Bible is true. Everything. See, Paul was given a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him in order to keep him humble. He had a mission to accomplish. Three times Paul sought the Lord for relief. The Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Okay, life might not always be, I don't know why they say a bed of roses. That seemed like a very poor place to make a bed. roses have thorns, at least the ones that I've seen. Life may not always be easy. In fact, in all cases, life is always not easy. There's temptations. You don't even have to go look for it in our world. The temptations of our world will present themselves unto you. They'll come and find you, seek you out. But my grace is sufficient for thee. When I am weak, then am I strong. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. It's scriptural. I got Bible for that. The truth Paul discovered was the timing of when divine strength arrives. You see, God does not always give it to us 6 months ahead of time. Well, I'm going to need it in the future, God, so you can go ahead and put that in my bank account right now. It'd be good. Thank you very much. It doesn't always work like that. In fact, I've found in my experience, it very rarely ever works like that. The timing of God's deliverance, the timing of God's anointing. You see, Paul took pleasure in crisis. All those words that he said, man, that's a hard pill to swallow. That's really tough for the flesh to take. Crisis? I don't like crisis. But crisis happens. Reproach, persecution, distress, they're not nice. But I tell you what, my God is able to keep us even when that happens. Because Paul knew that divine power and strength would work in his weak flesh, being a man. I'm pausing right there on purpose. Because every one of us has weaknesses. Every one of us has a fleshly, carnal nature. And we, in many ways, even though we be strong in faith, even though I know who Jesus is, I'm still a man. And I still struggle with flesh. Because I'm a man. Billy, I wanted to take a nap right before church. I was kind of tired. But it's not time for napping. I got to go. I'm the preacher tonight. I got to show up. How God moves in our lives is determined by our ability to trust and believe God. I want to say that again. How God moves in our lives is determined by our ability to trust and believe God. If you believe that God will see you through, He will. He will. It's not a maybe or a might or sometimes. I'm talking about all the time. God sees us through. Israel tempted God. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. Can you believe that? I have scripture for that too. Psalm 78, verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. If you give up your faith, if you give up believing in God, if you let go of your steadfast faith in God, if you let that faith go, it's not God's fault. That's just our human nature. That's the weaknesses of the flesh. Hold on to your faith. You see, the enemy is going to present so many challenges in our life. And every one of us has enemies of our faith. Every one of us has spiritual wickedness that comes against us. Every one of us has earthly, worldly, ungodly things that are trying to encroach in our lives. Sometimes we even get into the spot. Man, it looks really bad. Man, it looks, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this mess. I don't know which direction to go. I don't know how to fix this. That happens even to Bible-believing Christians. But God will see us through. Use this as an example. Sisera and the Canaanites. The Canaanites were descendants, or they descended from the grandson of Noah. This son of Ham was cursed when Noah awoke from his drunkenness and his son saw his nakedness, and it was a mess. He ended up getting cursed. His children ended up as a part of that curse. The curse upon Canaan was upon his descendants. And Israel was to have nothing to do with these people. Jabin was king of the Canaanites. And Sisera was the king's captain. He was in charge of the military of his king. Captain over the entirety of the army. Jabin's army had 900 chariots of iron. And it caused Sisera to have a very great confidence. I've got the greatest army in all of the world. No kingdom can stand against this force. And he may well have in the flesh been right. He probably had the best fighting force in his day. See, nobody else around, none of the other kings, had 900 chariots of iron. Advanced military capabilities, if you will, for their day. Chariots were a big thing. So he was really confident. Jabin was king of the Canaanites. Sisera had 900 really good chariots, high confidence. Barak and Israel met Sisera near the Kishon River. As we read in the beginning in Deborah's song, the account of how that it was prophesied that the Lord would draw them in. And that God would deliver them the victory. It was a prophecy by the prophet. Deborah told about it happening. And the Lord did, in fact, keep his word. No surprise here. God delivered that great fighting force into the hand of Israel. But if you know, part of that prophecy was that you're not going to get the credit because Sisera is going to be taken by the hand of a woman. Do you know that in all probability, I don't know this for certain, but in all probability, in all likelihood, there were no women on that battlefield. It was all men. Well, how could the leader, the captain, the greatest officer under the king of the greatest fighting force of their day, how could he be taken by a woman? You know, I just brushed on it at Mother's Day that, you know, this woman would not stand for evil hanging out in her tent. I didn't tell you the background story because I didn't. It's a Wednesday night and I can take 10 minutes and tell you. Yes, she was used by God. She was used by the... It was prophesied before time that a woman would take this guy. And he showed up at her tent. You know, she can't fight this guy. He's a well-seasoned soldier, well-experienced fighter. She's no match for this guy. Okay, come on in. Yeah, come on in. Give me some water. You know what she gave him? Warm milk. Subtlety is sometimes a whole lot more powerful than strength. In her weakness, she was strong. She knew exactly what she was going to do. She was just waiting for the time to do it. Here, my Lord, drink this. Of course, he's been running, fighting. He's had a long day, right? His army just got defeated, and he's running for his life. And he's now exhausted. He's emotionally and physically and every otherly spent. He's ready to collapse. And he now feels safe. That is so good. Oh, here, have a blanket. Oh, that feels good too. He goes out. He's sleeping. Well, then you know what happens. She takes a nail, a tent stake. A tent nail. And nails his head to the ground. Right through the temples. The prophecy of Deborah was true. A woman took out Sisera. And the enemy was defeated. You know, I tried to say how much I appreciate my wife on Mother's Day. I feel like my words are insufficient. You don't even understand. Perhaps you do. But I feel like I didn't do a very good job. The women of our church, they might not look like they're going to carry a club, but their walk with God is powerful before God. You know, I'll tell you this. I can go around in the business circle, dressed up nice, see the government officials at work and go with the vice presidents and the presidents and be in places with the executives. And I can fit right, I just look like they look. A businessman. But you put my wife in a crowd of any 100 people across this community, and she will stand out. She will look special. And she is. Not just to me, but to God. She is special to God. Not just because she's beautiful, she is beautiful. She's right? But that's not the reason that she is special before God. She is special before God because she has exercised her faith. She's special before God because she prays. She's special before God because every little piece that she reads in the Word, oh, I'm lacking in that. I want to do that. I want that to be in my life. I want the Word to be alive in my life. Every little crumb and piece and part and parcel, every dot, every jot, every tittle, every part, that's what we're striving for. I want to live holy before God. Not so that I stand out, but so that God knows I'm special. You, when you exercise your faith, are special before God. Your faith fights for you. Amen. Somewhere a weakness. There must be a way to get this man. Samson's love for a Philistine woman was a fleshly weakness. Delilah vexed him to the point that he eventually, after repeated iterations of times, he confided in her the truth. My life has been dedicated unto God as a Nazarite. Before I was born, there was a prophecy. And that prophecy has been fulfilled in my life. There's never been a razor come upon my head. There's never been. You see, he was special before God. There are those among us that because of the practicing of our faith, we are special before God. You know the story. I don't have to elaborate too much here. She tried to trick him. It didn't work. He'd, you know, throw off the weaver's beam and break the ropes and do all this and scatter the ambush. He'd just chase him away. Then one time after he told the truth, they cut off his hair. And when he woke up, his hair's cut. The enemy's all around him. Samson, the Philistines are upon thee! You see, that was never a problem before. I just shake myself, and I'm going to go get them. Well, now he's just like every other man. You know, 20 soldiers jump on you, and, oh, I can't get up. What's wrong? Well, you got 20 soldiers on your back. You know, that would be the problem. That was not a problem before. Samson killed 1,000 soldiers with a jawbone of a donkey. It wasn't a problem before. But he had the anointing of God upon him then. God moved on him at times. You know, when he killed 1,000 soldiers with a jawbone of a donkey, it was God that moved in him. That was supernatural anointing by God. You know, when he walked up to the gates of the city, and they got him trapped now. He cannot escape. We've got him. Walks up to the gates. You know, the gates of the city. Can you imagine gates maybe as tall as our ceiling and maybe as wide as our church? It was the main highway into town. He took the door frame, and the pillars on either side, broke it off of the wall, and carried it up over the hill and threw it off the side of the road. And like if there was a cement truck double parked, well, I'll just go out there and throw that truck off my property. It seemed ridiculously impossible. But I tell you, all things are possible in God. Didn't matter what the enemy contrived against him, when God moved on him at times, those times when the enemy thought they had him, God delivered him. And then, in the flesh, without the anointing of God, cut off his hair, soldiers attack him, he's in the tent, I'll just shake myself like before, and guess what? He wist not that the Spirit was not with him. Man, that's a scary thought, my friend. Is it possible that I could be so foolish in the flesh that I would do things to lose my anointing of God and then not even know it? Oh my, that's scary. That's scary to me. But that's what happened to him. Soldiers took him, arrested him, put him in jail. Poked out his eyes, made him work like an ox, pushing in the grain, pushed a big stone around with a pole, and they made flour out of the big rock that made dust out of the grain. And used him like an ox. Wow. You know the end of the story, though. I've heard some people say, well, his hair began to grow. I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to get to it in a little bit. The Philistines gouged out his eyes, bound him in chains, placed him in prison. He ground in a mill. Judges chapter 16. Let me read a portion of this. Verse number 23, reading from there. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god. Okay, so he's in the midst of a false god celebration. And to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, "Our God hath delivered unto our hands our enemy, and the deliverer, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they were rejoicing over Samson, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. Come, let him give us a show." And they called Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. They mocked him. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. An overflowing crowd of 3,000 people on the roof. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Wow. It's an amazing story, but it's true nonetheless. Our faith, when God moved upon Samson at times, God delivered him. You see, the enemy is so many times. In fact, I would even venture to say most of the time, the enemy is us. We can be the primary problem. We have the power of choice. We get to choose. Will I serve the Lord or no? Barak, yeah, sure, he had fears. He could look at the facts. The most powerful army in the world is right outside the gates. They got 900 chariots of iron, a well-trained fighting force. It doesn't look good. In fact, it looks really bad. Sometimes fatalism. We can make it even look worse in our own mind. We can look at the things that surround us and concentrate on the bad so long that you start not seeing the good. Lord forbid that we would forget that God is on our side. Don't forget. Don't forget how good God is. But we in the flesh are the problem most of the time. Yeah, it truly is. Sometimes other people cause our problems, but many times we cause the problem. Fear of failure kept Barak from stepping into God's will. The fact that the enemy had 900 chariots of iron, it was a deterring fact. He was unwilling. Deborah, if you don't go, I'm not going. You see, he submitted to his own fears. But then he said, if thou wilt go with me, if they'll go with me, I'll go. If you won't go with me, I'm not going. Remember hearing that part of the scripture? Long time ago. He had made up his mind. I ain't going without you. You know what? We as a body of Christ need to stay living for God. Not just for yourself, but for your brother or sister in Christ. We need to stay a positive, strong, faithful church because New London County needs a strong, faithful, apostolic, one God, Jesus name church in this community. The people that live around here need this church to be here. And not an empty church either. They had that once. It didn't do very good. They need an apostolic, Jesus name, one God, faith-believing church. So that they have someone to go with them to believe God. Inconsistency destroyed Samson. The Nazarite vow was a calling from God before he was born. It was prophesied. It was a calling of purity, of separation, and of deliverance. Now he failed more than a few times, okay? But he did know how to pray. So what if you messed up? Get back up and believe God. Get back in the church where you belong. Get right with God and let your faith fight for you. Lack of those things God called him to. Lack of fulfilling his calling caused the Philistines to rule over Israel. God has a life message for each and every one of us. God wants each of us to live out daily our faith with him. When we follow our own will, we will be led away from God. That's just a natural, carnal happening. If we do our own thing, we're going to go away from God. We got to do God's thing to stay close to God. Does that make any sense to anybody? The strength of confidence. The weakness of self-confidence. Samson tied 150 pairs of foxes with firebrands to their tails, and he burned up the enemy's fields. He was so mad at them. Killed 1,000 soldiers with a jawbone of a donkey. In 20 years of judging Israel, no record in Scripture suggests that anyone advised him spiritually. Every person needs someone to whom he or she is accountable to. I tell you, every one of us need a pastor. Every one of us needs godly advice. Samson's attitude, I will go out at other like other times, shake myself. You know, after his hair was cut and his anointing was gone, he didn't have it in him no more. He failed. Our fleshly strength fails when it comes up against the opposition of the enemy. It don't matter how strong you think you are. In the flesh, you will fail. We need faith to be successful. Deborah, Barak, they went, had a great victory. Man, it was awesome. They defeated that army. The leader ran. Sisera got killed too. There is strength, lasting strength, in godliness. There is great strength characterized by godliness. A strength that refuses to live beneath the level of God's best. Someone say best. God's best in our life. Be all that God wants you to be. Step out. Do something beyond your own comfort zone for God. The strength of repentance and restoration. I know, there are literally hundreds of people that have had an experience with God in this church. Multiple hundreds of people. 2, 3, 4, who knows, 500 people in the 19 years I've been pastor here. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And yet this church isn't running 600. But I tell you, every one of those people had a genuine experience with God in this place. Was not false. God did not fail. God didn't fail in any one of those people. My God is still able to meet all of their need. My God is still able to save all of their souls. Samson is a really great example of God's grace. Yeah, he messed up. Yeah, he did some ungodly things and went with an ungodly woman, married an ungodly woman, and got mixed up in the Philistines. And, you know, he messed up, right? Did you get right there at the end? He never forgot how to pray. No matter where you find yourself, stand with me. I'm closing right here. It's time, right? Look, I'm closing right smack on time. God responds to repentance. You go ahead, tell your friend. Tell our loved one that has been in this church before. Tell them God is waiting for you to come back home. God wants to see you in church again. We've been praying for you. God wants to use you again. There's such great potential. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, is full of people who messed up that God used. God transforms the weak, the broken, flawed people. And from their strength in Him, by their faith that fights for them, they are able to accomplish much in God. When we are weak, then God makes us strong. Would you lift your hands and love the Lord with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you are wonderful. God, you are holy. God, you are wonderful. You are glorious. Lord, you are my Savior, my Lord, my God, my King. God, you are altogether wonderful, O Lord. I praise your name. I worship you, Jesus. Lord, I adore you, my God. I praise you, Lord. Help me, God, to be strong in faith. And I know that my faith fights for me, that you are for me and you'll help me. You'll never forsake me. God, you'll always be with me. And you, Lord, will bring the victory. God, you, Lord, have all this in control. Jesus, I adore you. I praise you. I worship you, Lord Jesus. Wonderful, holy, glorious God. Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep your faith in God. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.